Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joe Ostrowski, Knights on 670 The Score.
A couple weeks ago, the Cubs interviewed their bench coach last year, Mark Loretta. Last week, it was David Ross, Joe Girardi, Will Venable. I think that's it. This week, Joe Espada yesterday, the Astros bench coach, had to be yesterday because his team was playing this afternoon. And I don't know if it's today. I didn't see anything on that, but Gabe Kapler, former Phillies manager, we'll talk to Joe Giglio from WIP in Philadelphia at 9:20 about Kapler and a little bit about his Eagles. Coming up, John Mamola at 8:40. You remember the Joe O and Rock Show? I won't tell you about it because we'd be fired if we did any of that right now. He'll be joining me at 8:40. I need to talk to him. He's got to cover Trestman again. Rock, my former co-host at Saturday nights here on The Score. He's in Tampa running a sports station down there, and now he's got to cover Trestman. And I wonder if people are more excited about the Vipers than the Bucks. They might be. I think we'd be jacked here. Even though we've got the Bears, there's so much love for football, especially in this city. The XFL, I don't know. What was the name of the team that played in Rosemont? The Enforcers.
Ask Les, he would know.
Nobody really paid attention. The Rush, did people care about the Rush?
Not really.
Yeah. But if you have the McMahon angle and they market it like WWE, I wonder if people would be in. The Enforcers was the XFL team and the Rush was the last outfit.
Yeah, the Arena League, right?
The Arena League, but then it was, yeah, it's a whole thing. Somebody went to jail. It's a big mess. You can Google it if you want the whole story. Anyways, as far as the Cubs managerial search goes, I don't know if it's really a search. They have their man. Their man played for them. And I assume that he's going to be the manager next season. Their best friend. His name's David Ross. But Joe Espada is the name that really popped to me to learn about how things are run in the Astros organization. And he checks a lot of boxes. And, you know, I heard about him, but I didn't know a ton. But then a couple weeks ago, I had a conversation with Astros TV analyst. You remember him as a Sox player, Jeff Blum, about Joe Espada and what he brings to the table and why he should be a manager somewhere in baseball. Here's Blum with me on Espada.
That's a good one to be thinking about because he's already had a couple of interviews in the past, and then you sat on the bench a couple of times with A.J. Hinch. So he's got a real good idea of how the Astros work internally. And I think hanging around A.J. Hinch is a benefit just because A.J. is a guy who came from a front office, managed, went back to the front office, and is now in a manager's seat where he really has, you know, humbled himself within the game and understands how to communicate with the front office, how to hold your ground if you believe in something. And then he also understands how to handle that clubhouse. And, you know, what you don't hear about a lot, I think, in a lot of major league clubhouses is the bench coach is really the enforcer, really the guy that tries to motivate some of these guys because managers have so much on their plate. So Joe Espada has done a very good job in being delegated to do some of the jobs that A.J. Hinch is unable to do. And he's gained the respect of all 25 guys in that clubhouse. And, you know, don't forget, Joe Espada is bilingual. So I think that carries a lot of weight in the clubhouse, too, because you've got to be able to control the English side, and then you've got to be able to control and communicate with the Latin side in this sport. And I think Joe does both of those extremely well. He's coached third base. He's been a bench coach. He works with the infielders. He understands the analytics. He understands the shifting. this guy has become, you know, working with the Marlins from the ground up and now working with the Astros at a very high level. I think this guy has seen every aspect of the game. And, you know, what in the playoffs, and especially this year, he's really going to be able to cut his teeth with a high-caliber team who expects to go out and win every single ball game. So he's learning how to deal with, you know, the failure. He's learning how to deal with the success. But I can't say enough good things about Joe Espada. It's kind of, you know, if you guys end up snagging him, it's going to be disappointing because he lives right down the street, and he's a great conversation and a great dude to hang out with.
You think he's going to get a job?
I think eventually he will, yes. I think he's highly appealing. You know, if they're, I don't even think it's a drawback, but I think, you know, Joe is so passionate about the game and he's so passionate about winning that I think sometimes that fire and that intensity can be misconstrued or mistranslated. But everything this guy does is to go out and win every single possible game he can, but he also expects the same out of his players as much as he does himself. So sometimes, you know, that fiery, you know, Puerto Rican attitude can come out a little bit, but I like it.
That was Jeff Blum with me recently on Sports Radio 670, The Score, about the guy that the Cubs interviewed for their opening yesterday. I hope it was a nice long meeting and they learned as much as they possibly could about the Astros organization. I don't think he had a real shot in the job, but you know what happens sometimes is there's a leader in the clubhouse for a gig. And the interview process doesn't go exactly how you would expect. I hope the Cubs had a very open mind. That's all I'm saying. And I hope they're not just locked in on David Ross no matter what. I mean, I don't know what Ross is going to tell them in an interview. They've had countless conversations with the man. They know everything about him. They know what he offers and why they would want him to hold that post. They get it. But to learn about the Astros organization over the course of a day, I assume it was a long interview, I'd want to learn everything that they're doing. Everything. Let's be honest, the Cubs have fallen behind the rest of baseball. They were always the innovators in the past. And look around, they're way behind. And they've struggled with the draft. They can't get pitching. They've lost on free agent moves. Some trades they've lost. So let's see how they rebound. And they say they're going to change the roster. Let's see exactly what they do. 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. 224 texter. Give me Joe Espada as the manager, David Ross as the bench coach. Best of both worlds and not putting Ross in a bad spot. I don't know if Ross would take that. Okay, first off, the world believes, the baseball world thinks that David Ross is going to be the Cubs manager, right? Everything is pointed to this forever, for years. So if you come in, you knock it out of the park. The Cubs say, we want to hire you as a manager, but we want you to have David Ross as your bench coach. I say, bleep you. What? You're basically putting my replacement the day I get the job right next to me, the next man in command. You fire me? Who's promoted? It's David Ross in a heartbeat. I don't think that would ever work. If you're bringing in a manager, they should decide on the bench coach because they're going to lean on that person a lot. And Blummer was talking a little bit about that, about what they do on a daily basis. I think that'd be a horrible situation. If you find your guy, you got to trust them. Okay, you can get the job if. Come on in. If you do this, those don't work out a lot. It worked out last year. For 1 year with Nagy and Fangio. Why? Because it was hands-off. Fangio, you do what you want with the defense. I'm worried about the offense. That's what I came here for. Okay, cool. It's on autopilot anyway. Fangio's a defensive genius. So it worked out fine in that case for 1 year. You can't do that. You can't demand the bench coach. What do they really want? We want accountability. That was a key word at the 81-minute press conference at the end of the season from Theo Epstein. Accountability. That'll make people happy. And we're going to bring in Joe Girardi. Let's get those pictures out there. show everybody that we're interested in Joe Girardi. We're not going to hire Joe Girardi, but we're going to interview him and let people know that we interviewed him. So then they're going to assume that something must be wrong with Joe Girardi. Maybe he's a bad interviewer. Why'd he only last 1 year in Florida? Why hasn't he managed recently? Why do you have to take time off? We know they're not hiring Girardi. That's 100%. 815, am I the only one who thinks anything less than Girardi is a downgrade? No. It's going to be a downgrade. Girardi is a downgrade from Madden, in my mind. The problem was the what it sounds like, the communication and the relationship at the end. John Heyman was on this station with Mully and Haas saying that Madden stopped listening. And if you just watch the lineup, some of the decision-making going on over the last month of the season, I thought that was pretty clear. And Theo went over what he's looking for in a manager. It's not hard to figure out some of the issues that they had, the problems going on with the front office and Madden at the very end. And I'm sure a lot of it was because Madden knew that he was out. 312-644-6767. Yeah, that's it, man. They want the control. They want the power. That's, and the Cubs are not on an island here. That is going on throughout the game. Managers don't make any money anymore, and they don't have a lot of power. Can you keep your bosses happy? Are you listening to them? Are you taking their input? How do you use the analytics during the game? See, nobody talks about it in the game, but I think during the game, it became a big story with the Mets in New York, but I think that's the norm, that the front office is making calls during the game on what should be happening. It'd shock you if that were to happen with the next Cubs manager. Wouldn't it shock me for a second? 312-644-6767. I brought up a few minutes ago about a second football team. Unfortunately, we don't have one here anymore. And people reminded me that the Enforcers played at Soldier Field. That's right, they did. It was a short-term thing with the Chicago team in the XFL, because I don't think they were there the entire time. Not meaning Soldier Field, just in the XFL the entire time. 224. In 2008, the Chicago Rush were averaging near a sellout. See, they may have, but as far as coverage, I didn't really see it. I would check out the games on TV once in a while. May have been Sports Channel at the time, or maybe not. Either way, I remember it being televised, and I would watch it once in a while. But yeah, there were a lot of financial issues there. People may have been showing up, but it's not like a lot of people knew the players or anything. That was my point there. Matt in Rockford, you're on 670 The Score with Joe Ostrowski.
Hey, Joe. How's it going?
Hey, what's up, Matt?
Hey, not much. I was thinking there's only one reason why this Cubs team, it was better that they didn't make the playoffs rather than get there and get embarrassed or get swept, is because it just makes it easier to not bring Joe back.
Yep.
If they make it there, even if they get swept, I think they get a lot more pushback from fans. They get a lot more media that would push back. And then there's one other thing. I think Herbie said it. The idea that the Cardinals getting there, and then in the off season, their front office would think that they're better than what they really are just because they got there. I think that's just a bad take, because I think the front office is smarter than, like, fan. Like, that would be something the fans would think. The front office is able to kind of critique itself and say, you know, yes, we made it there, but are we really as good as these teams? I think the Cardinals are probably smarter than that.
Okay, thanks for the phone call. I think when you have a lot of success, it's hard for teams to take a step back and say, they can point to their issues, but once your performance reaches a certain level, I don't know if a lot of teams want to face the reality that you're not going to repeat that performance, right? I think that's what Herb was getting at. I don't know. I'm not in on those conversations. But I think a lot of teams assume that they're going to repeat, unless there's just some crazy outlier. But yeah, if you just look at the contracts, if you just look at the depth chart, look at the players on the roster. Should the Cardinals be are they one of the four best teams in all of baseball? They should be able to say no, because you got Astros, Yankees first off, and look at this Nationals pitching in that Nationals lineup. Are we the fourth best? We're the best team outside of that. And the Nationals didn't even win the division, and look what the Braves accomplished this year. I know they beat them in a series, but I don't know long term that means they're the better team. It'll be interesting to see what they do. They're probably going to lose Ozuna in free agency, but they've spent poorly. They've made some mistakes. Our buddy Chris Ranji will come on tomorrow night. I'll be on 7 to 10 after Bears All Access, and we'll have a honest conversation about the Cardinals. I know people down there get on him when he criticizes the Cardinals. It's just a different world than Chicago sports media. Far Northwest Side. Hello, Joe.
Good evening, Joe. Enjoying the show, as always.
Thank you so much.
I think whoever the next manager of the Cubs is, that candidate should be independent of the 2016 team and any of the Boston connections, okay? Example, let's say Ruby Slippers Rossi gets the job. Mr. Dancing with the Stars, okay? Say things don't go well after they name him the manager. You know, you hit your slippers three times and there's no place like home. But an overwhelming amount of fans next year, percentage, they're going to be pointing fingers at Theo for not, say, choosing fan favorite, you know, Joe Girardi. But Theo should hammer out a deal with Girardi, move maybe Rossi to the bench, and now you got 2020 covered for next year. You know, either way, though, Theo's biggest move, Joe, in the offseason, I think, is to retool some kind of a new chief for the minor league and her development system right now, because I think they need it. But, you know, you need to make a move off the major league roster, whether it be Bryant or Contreras. If you got to take the pill and swallow it, you know. Plus, you can make a move with, say, Hap, Almora, maybe Bodie. But with lots of
Bryant.
Yeah, well, you never know. There's nobody in the minor league system to make a move, you know. Yeah. But, you know, a lot of talk around Wrigley right now about moving Hayward, who had his best year of all four, by the way, to other players, and also throwing in $40 to $50 million in cash, because Hayward's next 4 years is $92 million owed. So if you could get hand over $40 to $50 million, that's going to free up $40 or $50 million for Theo. You know, this way, you know, it's what you call addition with subtraction, you know. And I think, Joe, on a closing note, if the Cubs job still goes vacant past the World Series, I think the fans out there are going to be scratching David Ross off the list. And that means I think Theo might be looking into a different direction. But, Joe, enjoying the show, Joe.
Thank you so much, Joe. Always enjoy his calls with Les at 4:45 every single morning, right before my update at 5 when I'm here on Mondays. Joe always brings it. Always listening to. We can bring up names like Hap. That's fine. What are you getting in return? Bring up names like Russell. I don't think he'll be back. You getting anything? No. It's a core four guys. One of those four guys is Anthony Rizzo. He's not going anywhere. And he's not making a lot of money either. He's staying. Contreras, Bryant, Baez. One of those will be gone. One. Which one? I still think in 2 years they're going to have to make a decision between Bryant and Baez. There's no way that they're going to be able to sign both guys. I don't see it. Maybe they proved me wrong, but they needed Ben Zobrist not to play, so they had enough money to go get a closer this year. And he's your closer for the next 2 years. Feel good about that? No, you don't. The kind of change that Epstein was talking about, Bryant, Baez, or Contreras. You think you're not going to sign Bryant? It's time to move now when he's valuable. I don't think they're going to wait until the trade deadline, but they could. When there's a year and a half left, they could. Contreras, what do you get? An extra year of control more than Baez and Bryant. But I think that's where you have to look. And that will really change things up. If you're not moving any of those guys, how much are you really going to change on this roster? Sure, you got some money coming off the books that you can spend in free agency, but you're not really changing it. It's going to be the same thing again. As far as hitting approach, just everything. And they go with these long droughts. They're not able to score. They're not taking professional at-bats. Not getting starters out of games early. And then the rotation without an ace. At times, Yu Darvish looked like he could be that guy because he has a high strikeout rate, but where else? You feel comfortable with Hendricks as a two? Where's Lester going to be at next season? Hamels is probably going to be gone. A lot of changes happening. And I think they're going to deal one of those core four guys. The only question is, what can they get back in return? 312-644-6767. My name is Joe Ostrowski, 840. My buddy John Mamola will join me. Talk some XFL. Talk about what's going on in Tampa. There's a lot of excitement about a Trestman team. It just cracks me the hell up. You've got the score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bottom of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Northwestern Football. Ryan Field this fall with the Wildcats, led by Big Ten Coach of the Year Pat Fitzgerald, hosts Ohio State, Iowa, Purdue, and Minnesota in Big Ten play. Single game tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team are on sale now at NUSports.com. Joe Ostrowski with you on the score. I saw Shep tweet this out earlier today. He's at Shep670. Cracked me up. So good. Here's his tweet. Holy hell, hey Theo, go hire this man immediately. Please, for the sake of everything holy, make my dreams come true. So Chen knows all about this guy because we just brought it up randomly in a conversation. Who is this that the people are about to hear?
All right, it's Augie Guardado. He is the all-time winningest college baseball coach ever from Texas.
Okay.
The Longhorns.
Okay. So he's a long-time baseball coach at Texas, a legend, right?
Yeah, he passed away a couple of years ago.
Yeah, R.I.P. Texas. He also played it. I mean, he also coached at Illinois, too.
He did. He brought them to their first, when? I believe, like in the 80s, yeah. In the 90s.
Did you know this, Herb?
I did not know this until I looked it up
today.
You
learned it up to, learned today?
Cal State Fullerton also.
Okay. So Texas must have just gotten crushed, like the Cardinals are tonight, 7-1 in the fifth inning. Threatening, though. Runners first and third. Let's put a stop to that, Nats. So here's Coach Augie in the locker room after a bad loss.
In 15 minutes, you guys will probably all be fine with this, okay? So I'll just sum it up this way, as fast as I can. That is the most humiliating game in the last 10 years I've been involved with. How can we get picked on the first base? How can you do that? The f*** is that about? What do you think you're doing there? This isn't about some game. This is about our lives. Do you get it? Don't you get it? You don't have a choice. When I tell you to take, you take. Don't tell me you don't see it. You look. You understand? I don't give a shit. Like I said, 15 minutes from now, you don't give a f***. You walk out of here. I gotta live with this f***ing embarrassing game the rest of my life.
Quit yelling.
He's shaking. Like he's stomping his foot and just shaking like crazy. You think Coach Augie brought accountability to the clubhouse?
Yeah,
Jen?
They panned over to his players, and you should have seen the look on their faces. You need to watch the video, because when
awesome.
They pan it over, they're just like, the look is just classic, because they are in complete shock as to what's coming out of his mouth.
So is that what Theo wants? Flipping tables? I mean, that's not the direction they're going, but not that Dusty would do this, but Dusty's getting an interview. Buck Showalter's getting talked to, right? What's going on? No, but none of them are getting hired, I don't think. We're never going to see that again. It was so, so good. People ask it who that is. That's Coach Augie, former Texas Longhorns coach.
Augie Garrido.
Augie Garrido, legend. Unfortunately, the Cubs cannot hire him because he passed away. That's
Right? Yes, he is currently dead.
What if they did have a press conference? Who knows that? Would that go over well? Hey, you guys want fire and passion?
They just play that.
But here's David Ross. What's that?
They just play that speech over and over they don't give effort.
Yeah, Rizzo makes the lineup. And then, all right, guys, it's time for a team meeting. Oh, a really bad loss. Okay, now you guys got to watch the Coach Augie video. Here he comes. So good. Here's your update. Still 5-1 Nationals, top of the fifth inning. But the Cardinals have runners on first and third, nobody out.
7-1 jump.
What did I say?
5.
Oh, I was thinking of the inning. 7-1. Whew. Thank God. 7, all in the first inning. Corbin, we need to get out of this. We'll take a double play ball. Let them score. It's fine. 7-2. Middle of the game. We're okay with that. We need to close them out tonight. Oh, no. Bases are loaded. All right. This is not going well. I need this to end tonight. See, I jinxed it. I started counting my money. That's what happens. Okay. Bases loaded 7-1. If you are a longtime scorehead, you probably don't know about the Joe and Rock Show because it was Saturday night and nobody was listening, but we had a lot of fun and we probably should have been fired a whole lot. John Mamola is a program director at WDAE in Tampa Bay, and he's going to join me next. I want to find out what the hell's going on with the XFL and Trestman being the head coach, and it's the fifth year for Jameis Winston, last year of the contract, how he's performing. Are we going to go through that in a couple of years with Mitch Trubisky? Year 5? Yeah, I don't know if he's coming back. Maybe he'll be really good. The head coach after Nagy's here, like Arians is down there now. So I want to catch up with Rocker. It'll be an enjoyable conversation. That's next. Joe Osho, Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Quit yelling.
And it's from Rock. The Score, it's Rock Mamola.
I think that was Rocker's first TV appearance.
Is this Seven Dust? Seven Dust.
Pantera.
Joe Ostrowski with you, Sports Radio 670, The Score. Herb Lawrence, Mike Chen on the other side of the glass. We bring in the program director. Program director of Tampa Bay Sports Radio 95.3 WDAE is on Twitter at John Mamola. But I call him Rock. What's up, Rock?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
How you been?
Good. Doing well.
Let me ask you this. As a program director now, and I'm sure sometimes you have flashbacks to what we would do on an 8 p.m. to midnight show on 670 The Score.
You still wearing those trash bags from that milk challenge?
In the role of management, when you think back to some of the shows and segments and stupid things that we didn't set on the air, how many times would you fire us?
You know, in the programming role now, it's not about whether you're right or you're wrong. It's about whether you're entertaining. So there would be some leniency when it came to some of the crap that we did at night. But the leash would be rather short. And the what do we do? 3, 4 a.m. shows some days?
We were the schedule said midnight, and sometimes we would stay on an extra hour or two.
Mm-hmm. Because people kept calling, so we decided to stay on.
Was our highlight the milk challenge?
I want to say so. I mean, it doesn't get any more wild than that, does it?
Yeah.
I mean, we quit.
You and Herb.
We did quit. No, to be fair, Herbie didn't quit. I quit. I was the one that hurled first. I was the one that quit. Herbie was a champ, man. I mean, he fought through that whole thing. You, unfortunately, in the trash bags all over the studio. I'll never forget the setup for that show. You brought like a whole roll of trash bags to set up all over NBC Tower. It was hilarious.
Yeah, I was wearing a trash bag during the show. I forgot about that. I was looking like Missy Elliott.
I think I still have that picture somewhere. I got to see if I can find that.
Oh my God. If you find that, you've got to tweet that out. That's hilarious. Absolutely. See, I was thinking about when we would give up, we would give out packets of hot chocolate from the kitchen on the air.
And then you would
mail them out.
Yeah, the Joe Owen Rock Show prize pack, because the prize vault was robbed from the day parts during the week. So we had what was left. It was like old baseball cards off Merce's desk.
and all kinds of stuff. God. Yeah, that was a good. That was a lot of fun.
A lot of good times. Oh my God, I forgot about a lot of this. Thank God. Yeah. All right, so tell me about the hype. Are people excited about the XFL?
Sure.
That's a no.
It's weird because it's still kind of early in the process for really the team down here because they didn't have any structure really outside of their coaching staff until late last week. They brought down Trestman, which was a fantastic hire for their head coach of the XFL Tampa Bay Vipers. But they didn't really have the coaching staff done until mid last week, and they just did the draft today. So it's tough to hype a team when you don't have players, and it's really tough to hype a team too when you have a baseball team that's in the postseason and a football team that's the talk of the town every single week, you know, competing against you. So I wouldn't necessarily say excited. I would just say too early, but based on the minimal buzz, really based off the draft picks today, they're going to have a hill to climb. But I think every
did they take players that went to Florida schools?
They took a lot of players that went to Florida schools. They actually already have a quarterback controversy, and they haven't even played a snap yet. Aaron Murray was the designated quarterback. That's what the XFL did. They basically placed quarterbacks with each of the eight franchises. So they got Aaron Murray from Georgia.
Yeah.
They drafted Quentin Flowers, who played at South Florida, who's the all-time leading quarterback at South Florida. And by the way, that team plays on Fridays. I heard that little drop earlier. That's your running back right now, but they're going to start him with the quarterbacks during training camp. So you already have a quarterback controversy in the XFL with the Tampa Bay Vipers because you got placed with Aaron Murray and you drafted the unsung hero of the entire Tampa Bay market as far as quarterbacks. I mean, there was a time when Quentin Flowers was playing for USF that he was more talked about, more buzz surrounding him around Jameis Winston. So, I mean, that's really interesting.
I remember.
And they did the right thing. You got to pick guys and players that, you know, people in this market know, and that's exactly what they did.
I couldn't stop laughing when I saw the announcement of the entire coaching staff. We all knew that Trestman was going. And then the tweet with the entire staff. Jerry Glanville. His defensive coordinator.
Yeah, and the photos from the draft today, Joe, if you go on the XFL Vipers Twitter page, how Jerry Glanville decides to wear sunglasses in the middle of the afternoon.
He's 78!
It is classic Jerry Glanville. That guy doesn't know, yesterday from a hole in his head. I mean, I don't understand how that man is going to, you know, call defenses in the XFL when he's been out of coaching since, I don't know, the late 1990s?
93, he was with the Falcons. That was his last year in the NFL.
Okay, the early 1990s. Let's make it even better.
I know.
I mean, look, this is. I mean, I think we can all know what this is. This is a way for they take the year off to kind of see what the Alliance League does. It doesn't work out. They learn from the failures of that. I mean, Orlando. I mean, it was popping in Orlando for at least three or four home games. I mean, that was a good ticket draw out there. So they kind of saw what happened out there. They want to, you know, see the failures and the positives, and they kind of want to make it their own here. I just think it's too early to kind of say the market is excited about Tampa Bay Vipers football in the XFL, you know, in Tampa Bay.
In football country, and you don't, you know, baseball's not as big like it is here, NBA not as
right.
big like it is here. I thought that it would be there'd be more of a buzz just because it's football and the Vince McMahon factor.
No, I think what hurt at least maybe the buzz here locally in Tampa is what the Rays did.
Yeah.
That just came out of nowhere. I mean, 96 win season, going five games in the DS. I think as far as buzz in the market, I think that kind of took the sole focus because let's face it, it's Florida. You know, when a team's in the playoffs, that's the first time people actually start paying attention. So you know, you got five games against the Astros, one wild card game against the Athletics. That kind of hurt the lead up to the draft today. For the Vipers. But no, I mean, the whole argument that football is football, I don't know if that necessarily plays anymore, especially in a market like Tampa where you have so many people from different parts of the country that come down here either to retire or for work. There's very few native Tampanians, which believe it or not, that is the proper term, that gravitate to just football because it's a football and it's a 100-yard field and, you know, there's guys with helmets playing.
All right, let's talk about your Rays pushing the Astros to five games in the in the ALDS. That was impressive.
Yeah,
nobody was calling that. The Yankees are going with an opener tomorrow. You saw it all season. Can it work?
Yes, it can work with the right matchups as long as you plan it out for a nine-inning game. If you're planning it, okay, what Kevin Cash does well is that he'll find a guy that can give you two innings on the front end and then basically an inning and a half all the way through. I don't know if necessarily the Yankees have that kind of setup, because I honestly haven't watched enough Yankees baseball to know that. Mm-hmm. But can it work? Yeah, of course. They've used it the last 2 years. They've won 90 games per season. They got into the postseason this time. You know, for a team that had the lowest payroll in baseball, that has a bunch of nobodies on it, to win that many games in that division utilizing that tool. And keep in mind, Tyler Glasnow and Blake Snell were hurt for a good majority of the season, so they had to rely on this kind of method to get them deep in games, to get them where they can have a chance to win at the end of the ball game. And look, it works. I mean, look at the Tampa Bay Rays. Joe Maddon wins in Tampa Bay, right? He's attached to Andrew Friedman. Andrew Friedman goes to L.A., which allows Joe to go to Chicago, okay? Mm-hmm. Joe wins his World Series. Andrew Friedman, total success in L.A. Why? Because they take what works down here and they put it in major markets, and it works. Okay, now say what you want about Joe the last couple of years, but it worked there in Chicago, and now it's working in New York. So the trend starts here because it has to be here, because there's no room for error here, because you can't spend down here because nobody goes to the games.
With our buddy Rock Mamola on 670 The Score, my name is Joe Ostrowski. He is now the program director at WDAE in Tampa Bay, 95.3 FM. When it came to Game 5, I know obviously everybody was so excited. Going against Cole, did you think they really had a shot?
Yeah, absolutely. Why wouldn't they? You saw the energy in the Trop. You know, the first energy that they had all season was in those two games. I mean, that offense came alive in front of all those people. And look, this is a team that is always playing in front of Yankee fans, is always playing in front of Red Sox fans, is always playing in front of Baltimore Orioles True. Fans, which draw really well down here. I mean, they're used to playing 162 road games. So the fact that they got that kind of momentum, and they're a streaky team with a bunch of young guys that don't know any better, I mean, yeah, I thought they had a real shot. Now, 10 pitches in the bottom of the first inning and you're down 4-0, yeah, you're not going to win many games, you know, if that happens. But I think if that doesn't happen, if they kept it competitive, especially early, yeah, I think they would have had a shot of, you know, definitely upsetting the Astros and going on to play the Yankees in the CS.
Yeah, I thought they had a shot too, especially with how Glasnow looked during the year. I mean, it was just a matter of his health.
He was unhittable.
He was unhittable. When he was out there, like, if you can put together an entire season like that, that's Cy Young stuff.
I agree. Totally agree. But going into next season now, I mean, you're coming off a 90-win season last year, a 96-win season this year, and you still have the lowest payroll in baseball both seasons. If you can keep your front office intact and kind of build up what you had this year, man, I'm telling you, they may compete for the division next year.
The Trubisky conversation all year is going to be what should they do at the end? Because all these teams are making the jump. After 3 years, they want to give out the big contract. The Rams did it with Goff, and it kind of feels like right now maybe they made a big mistake. Wentz got his big deal. The thing is, you don't want to push it 5 years. Two teams did push it 5 years. Of course, Tennessee with Mariota and your Bucks with Jameis Winston going into the year. Okay, maybe Arians can unlock something with Winston. We just saw a 5-interception game, as you know, over in London. What's the feeling there on Jameis, and what's going to happen at the end of the season?
It's a 50-50 split, and it's been like that for four seasons now going to the fifth. Half the market hates him, half the market loves him. The guy could throw for 15 touchdowns, two picks, half the market would still hate him. The guy can't win down here. He could do no wrong for so long, and he still has enemies. But yet, the minute he slips up, oh, damn, you know, there's the defenders there at the same time. My guess at the end of the season, especially with Arians going into his second year of his deal, I think they're going to franchise him. I think they're going to give him the tag. I think they're going to keep him around for one more year. No matter how he plays, I think they're going to franchise him for one more year, because I think they're the kid out of Clemson. He's got to stay for another year after
Trevor Lawrence.
Right? Yeah, yes. So I think they're going to franchise him. Bruce came, now keep in mind, Bruce Arians came down here because of Jason Light, the general manager. Jason Light got a 5-year contract extension weeks after Bruce Arians signed his name on the dotted line. That man has one of the worst records as a general manager in the Buccaneers' history, yet he gets a 5-year deal. It's kind of like Renteria getting an extension after losing 100 games in a year. And believe me, I was all over that, too. But Arians, I mean, Winston grew up with Arians. He went to Bruce's quarterback camps when he was a kid.
He talked to him all throughout his college career. He's watched him. He's worked with him. They have a great relationship. And plus, with Byron Leftwich, you know, calling plays as the offensive coordinator for the Bucs, they have a great relationship. The problem is that the Buccaneers get behind by so much that it's forcing him to be a superhero. That defense can't stop a nosebleed in the passing game. Running game's fine this year. You bring in Sue, you boot out McCoy. You got a healthy D-line for the first time in a while. Yeah, they're stopping the run. I think they're actually best in the NFL at stopping the run. But the minute the, you know, teams start passing against this pass defense, it's awful, man. So, yeah, he passed for 400 yards last week because he had to. That's a Jameis Winston-typical game in a Tampa Bay Buccaneers uniform. So, if I had to put money on it, I know you're a gambling guy, I say they franchise him at the end of the season. They give him one more year. And then that after that season is not only when the Winston decision comes down, but also the Arians decision and the light situation. And I think they may end up, in the end, blowing this whole thing up and starting from scratch.
Wow, 6 years. Let's push it. One more year. We still are not sure about Jameis Winston. Are you still?
The owners are sold on him, Joe. The ownership, okay. The Glazer family, they are sold on this kid. They put a lot of eggs in one basket. Oof. With him, and they're going to ride it out as long as they can.
That's the problem.
And that's the problem. You know, when ownership's on board, no matter how good or how bad he plays, he's in ownership's corner, and that's just going to benefit him in the end.
And now we're seeing quarterbacks pop as six-round draft picks, undrafted guys actually be serviceable in this league.
Yep.
But teams are sticking with these top picks. Are you still a Bears and Sox fan?
Yes, I am.
Not a Pirates.
And I showcase it in my office.
Do you?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
You quit on the Sox on the air. You quit.
You what?
You quit on the Sox.
Okay, now to be fair, I quit on the Sox until they fired Guillen. They fired Guillen. I was back on the bandwagon.
Oh.
See, people forget that. I know Lawrence likes to rip on me a little bit. Oh, you're a Pirates fan. No, I get it. No, the deal was they had to fire Guillen, and then I'm back into the fold.
See,
fired Guillen.
It's so
I'm
funny.
Back.
It's so funny. People forget with time. I took a call earlier today. He wants the Cubs to hire Guillen.
Yeah, I heard that too. No. Okay, you got rid of Joe. Are you bringing in Joe? Is Joe the front runner, or there's a guy from the broadcast booth?
They're bringing in Theo Epstein. That's what they're doing.
Okay.
It's just going to be a different mouthpiece before and after the game.
Okay, so basically they're bringing in the guy from the broadcast booth because he's a good mouthpiece.
Yeah, because he's going to listen to them. Joe wasn't listening to them.
Right, exactly. The whole time down here, and here's the thing. Now, look, Madden still lives down here. He's got a great home in Tampa. I can't wait to see him at Gasparilla today. We always go to his Gasparilla party, but I have a feeling that Cub fans are going to regret that they actually made that move because you don't know how good you had it until it's gone.
It will be a downgrade, 100%.
I'm telling you, it's the best manager in baseball that you just got rid of. Now, granted, the on-the-field performance is what it is. That is the best manager in baseball, bar none. And when he goes to L.A. to manage the Angels or wherever he goes, maybe the Phillies, whatever, that man is going to win a World Series within 2 years. Mark it right now. Mark that tape right there, Herb.
They're going to turn on David Ross, and I'm going to be here for it laughing. Rock,
quickly.
It was fun, Rock. Thank you.
Yeah, no worries, man.
John Mamola, that's where you can find him on Twitter. He's the program director at Tampa Bay, 95.3 WDAE. Coming up next, I want to talk about this Bears-Saints matchup. There's a few things on the injury report. We're so focused on what's going on with the Bears and their injuries. There's some key injuries going on with the Saints. It might be advantage Bears at Soldier Field on Sunday. That's next. Joe Osho, Sports Radio 670, The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.